And we've had a way too much playing and straying in the hour that we're living in. Amen. I again thank you all for your hospitality. It's always a pleasure to be with Brother and Sister Savage and to be in their home. And I have read her book this week. I think that this is probably the best one ever. And it's worthy of any author or compiler. And some great stuff there. Some stuff that is in the heart of the ministry and in the hour that we're living in. I thank you for the food and the fellowship. I'm not a good MC. I'm not a eloquent speaker when it comes to those things. I read years ago where they had asked a fighting man by the name of Rocky Marciano. He was talking about the different styles of boxing and through the years. And they said, how do you best describe your own style? And he said, I just kind of wade in and bust them up. So I guess that's what I do. Amen. I do have a burden for revival. And if I did not believe, I know someone that listened to some of our tape ministry made the remark that it sounded like that I was out to kill my people, but I'm out to heal them. Sometimes it sounds like that I am against us, but everything I am and everything I hope to be is sunk right here in this free and independent holiness movement. I believe this is the last ditch effort that God has to reach the world is us. And I believe that we're going to have a revival. If I didn't believe that, I'd go back home and hunt my light up and get my boots out and buy me another coon dog. But since I believe that, I'm going to preach across this country. And I may just be one man, but one man with one gun, if his aim is true, can do a whole lot. I want us to go tonight to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of my favorite Old Testament books. Nehemiah is a book of revival. It is the entire book is a revival out of the rubbish of failure. And Nehemiah was the kind of man that we all ought to be. He had a burden. He had a secure place in life. He didn't have to worry about anything, but he had brethren that were bound. And because of that, he wept and cried and prayed and sought God until God put him in a place to change things. I want us to turn tonight to the 13th chapter of Nehemiah, and for the sake of time, I think that I'll just start reading with the 13th chapter and verse number 3 and try to talk to you about the burden of my heart tonight. Chapter 13, verse number 3. Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated themselves from Israel, all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of the Lord God, of our God, was allied with Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they had lain the meat offerings and the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn and the new wine and the oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and to the singers and to the porters and the offerings of the priest. But in all this time was I not at Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes king of Babylon came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Elisha did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded that they cleanse a chamber, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God, and the meat offering, and the frankincense. And I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. If the Lord will stand by me and help me, I want to preach to you on throwing out the furniture of Tobiah. Our Father and our God, we are here again tonight partly because of the invitation, but more so because of the obligation. Therefore, I pray again tonight, Lord, not for limelight nor a prudence, but for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray the canopy of your glory would settle around this congregation for a little while. I pray you'd stretch forth your own hand, make bare your arm, and confirm your word with signs, miracles, and wonders. And Father, if all that you do, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. And the congregation said, amen. Very simple message tonight, because I'm a very simple man. The history of the text is simply that Nehemiah has been gone possibly for 2 years. He has already come to Jerusalem, already reestablished the walls and the safety thereof. He's reestablished the worship. He has taught separation. He's done all those things and left things supposedly in the hands of men. And he's went back to the king to report. While he's gone, in less than 2 years, he finds, upon his return, that the house of God is forsaken. The Levites and the singers have gone back to their fields and back to work. The Sabbath has been disregarded and disgraced. The people have went back to mixing and to mingling and to marrying with the heathen round about them. They had raised children that did not understand the law or the language of God now. And when he looked at this and said, what has happened? He found that the priest had made friends with Tobiah. Now, you know that Tobiah was instrumental, the arch enemy. He'd done everything he could to stop the building of the wall. And I want you to understand tonight, and you know that the standards, our walls, are built not to keep us in, but to keep the enemy out. And the higher the wall, and the broader the wall, and the greater the separation, the greater was the glory of the city. Now, when they couldn't stop the building of the wall, when they couldn't stop the putting up of the gates, while he's gone, Tobiah drops his ethnicity on the outside and makes friends with a preacher. And when he comes back, not only is his enemy inside the walls, he's inside the church. Not only is he inside the church, but he's moved in to the chamber where the meat offering used to be. The meat offering that speaks of the purity and the holiness of God. The frankincense used to be here, which talks of the prayer and the incense of the worship and the wine and the oil of the joy and the power of that Pentecostal experience. For you see, when the priest let Tobiah come in, he brought his furniture with him. Now, if you want to, you can reach right down and get a double hand hold on your seat. Because I come to preach to you tonight that we need a house cleaning. I come to tell us tonight we can break our arm patting ourselves on the back. But them old saints of God, heaven that you were talking about a while ago, if they were here tonight, they would wonder what we'd let go on while they were gone. Amen. For you see, it's not enough to have the outward standard. It's not enough to have the wall out there. It's got to have somebody on the inside to guard. But as these things, when Tobiah comes into the house of God, he brings his furniture with him. And when he does, Tobiah moves in and brings his stuff. All of a sudden, the things that we took for granted have been replaced by something else. When Tobiah is allowed to tell us how we need to run our services, when he tells us we don't need this meat, this strong meat that belongeth to them of our full age. Now I don't mind running the nursery. I don't mind giving food, giving the bottle to the baby. But that comes a time when you don't need to part the whiskers to give him his bottle. There's a time, folks, when we move up. When the preacher talked about tonight, how many of you, amen, are saved and how many of you are going to heaven, we got our arms up. He said, how many had the Holy Ghost? And about half this congregation here tonight didn't raise their hand. Did you realize that we as a Pentecostal church are in danger of losing our heritage to the great baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire? And the reason is, friend, the real genuine Holy Ghost don't come on anything common or unclean. When the man of God comes back, he says, why is the house of God in the shape it's in? And he learns that Tobiah has got inside with the preacher. And they've hooked up together. And because of that, the people have went back to mixing with the people of the world. Amen. I do not belong to the Ministerial Association of Jackson County, though I've been invited many times. But I'm going to tell you something. You can get out of anything you're in and get in holiness and you'll be right. But if you come down from holiness into anything, you are wrong. An old time, heartfelt, Holy Ghost salvation don't mix with anything. Oil don't mix with water. And the fire don't mix with gasoline. There's an explosion every time. I just felt like tonight God laid on my heart about 2 o'clock this morning to talk to you about us having a house cleaning. And I realize that most of you say you're saved. I believe that as soon as he heard that Nehemiah come home, I believe Tobiah, amen, saddled up and headed for the far country. But he left his furniture in the room where the worship should have been. I'm glad of everybody that's prayed. I'm glad of everybody that's repented of their sins and have claimed salvation. But tonight I want to talk to you. Come on up on the porch here. I want to talk to you about having a garage sale. Because there's still too many things in too many chambers of our hearts tonight and our imagination tonight that still belongs to Tobiah. And as long as Tobiah, amen, has his furniture in your house, he'll come back to claim what belongs to him. Amen. He said, I wonder, why is the house of God forsaken? Why are we struggling? Why are we priming and pumping until we finally manage to get over all those different spirits that are in our church till we can have a song? I used to preach years ago. I preached out when I first went back into Kentucky. I preached over to Little Ram's Horn meeting there, Asa Flat, little old tar paper. Outside, you know, one little room. If you shouted real high, throwed your hands up, you'd bust your knuckles on the roof. But there's an old man there by the name of Bill Pratt. He was already an ancient man then. But when we'd come out there, and they invited us for revival. That old man would go out beside behind the house over to the left-hand side of the barn and crawl back in a shoemake thicket. And he'd stay there sometimes a half a day. And he told me, he said, I have prayed in that shoemake thicket until I knew what she was going to be preaching on. I'd go in, I'd say, Brother Bill, I called him Uncle Bill, are we going to have a move of God tonight? And he'd say, if God don't come by tonight, I'll go back to the shoemaker, take it tomorrow. Amen. The most important thing in the life of those old men, those saints of God, was when they come to the house of God. Amen. They come in for one purpose only. They come in to have a move of God. And if there wasn't a move of God, they started hunting and a digging and a tossing things out until they got a move of God. Amen. Because what they were there for was to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting till the power of God fell and the fire came by. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. When he brings his stuff, the purity, the meat offering, which always stands for the purity and the holiness of God, is gone. My God, we're having to refight, seem like every year, with every generation, things that ought have been settled years ago. There's things that are in our services now that our forefathers fought and some of them died to keep out of the house of God. You know, history tells us that before the days of Jonathan Edwards, that religion had become so lax, conviction had so far moved away from the church, that they were having problems just finding preachers to fill the pulpits. They couldn't get churches filled up. They couldn't get any money generated. And so they met together, and Jonathan Edwards' grandfather was one of the instigators of it. They met together, and they decided to, guess what, lower the standard. How come it is that every time our young people have a rocking and a stirring, that somebody that ought to know better comes to the old man of God and says, now listen, we got to get these kids involved in something. So I think we need to have a hot dog supper. I think what we need today is to have us a ball league, a ball team, and we can have a church league. You know, the thing that my church first went over, Mike, was the first thing that deacons crossed me on was that they was having a countywide a softball league, and they wanted us to join. And I said, boys, God didn't call me to umpire a softball game. He called me to preach holiness. He said, well, we got to have something to occupy our young people. I said, whatever happened to praying through and shouting the victory and dancing up and down the aisles in the house of God. Well, my old deacon went on anyway. Come near having a fight one night, they said. And then doing something stupid, he injured his knee, blew his knee out, and was crippled till the day he died. Had to have surgery and all kinds of things on him. Didn't even ask me to come pray for him. You see, instead of us looking to God and saying, Lord, why is this happening? Where is the power of God? What happened to folks praying through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? An experience that would keep them longer than a week. Tobiah brought in some program and replaced the meat offering. And then he picked up all those bottles of incense and said, we don't need these anymore. I gotta have room for my latest contemporary music. I gotta put up my boombox and CDs here. Talking to a missionary, Brother Mike, and he said, the missionary's wife said to me, we've been holding meetings now over there in that country for a while. So I've been teaching the women over there the standards of holiness dress. And said they got some kind of hold of some kind of a periodical from some missionary work here in America that had a revival camp meeting and said, they came to me and they said, Missy, how come these ladies wear their underclothes on the outside? Some of the things that our kids was wearing, not necessarily our kids, wearing to church, amen, they thought it was undergarments because it was so flimsy and so full of holes and so pitiful looking. Amen. Why have we replaced? I'm not talking to us tonight now. I'll get around to it in a minute. If I don't get on your little pet thing there, you pray and ask God to get on it for me. And when we get through here tonight, I want us to have a house cleaning. You may have to go home and get rid of some magazines that you've been looking at. I looked back in the congregation at Bond the other night, and I saw a young man come in with a suit coat and blue jeans. And I thought, now, he ain't smart enough to thought that up on his own. I mean, he couldn't be that stupid. You know. So, sure enough, the Penny's catalog come by a day or two. On the front, the new thing this year is to wear suit coats and blue jeans. So that let me know that we were taking our cue from off, amen, the magazine. We don't have to worry about splits anymore. I told you here last year you wouldn't have to because the hem line was going to get so high. But I want you to know as the hem line comes up, the morals go down and the power of God leaves. I told you about hearing about the girls that was measuring 4 inches below the knee and cutting them. The thing they failed to realize was 4 inches below the knee standing up is above the knee sitting down. And I tell you, if you've done got to the place that you're measuring, amen, where you get in and out, you're already on the way out. I love you, but I come to tell you tonight, there's some furniture that if you don't get rid of, you're going to look up one of these days, and Tobiah's going to move right back in where it came from. That's why we can't keep people safe more than a month. We knew when we got in, that we didn't have to spend 6 weeks or 6 months praying over whether or not it's right to paint your nails or your toenails or why you. We knew that holiness people didn't smoke, drink, cuss, nor chew, dip, or anything else. We knew that was gone. We knew the country music had to leave. But you see, Tobiah said, "Now I'll tell you what. If you get rid of those Levites that all they sing about is the glory of God and holiness and bring us in some choirs that know how to do it just right and get it just right and they'll sing this contemporary stuff and we will have, we'll get the attention of a young generation. I want you to know if you're 6, 16, or 65, the only thing that'll get your attention and keep it is the old-fashioned power of God and it don't come anywhere until the house has been rededicated. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm preaching about throwing out some things. God help us today. And he said, when I learned what he did, he said, Preacher Gabbard, you're just old-fashioned. You're just too hard. You just preach too hard. Too hard for who? Who are we preaching too hard for? Now, Brother Gabbard, if you start naming that stuff, you know what? If you didn't put it on them when they was little, I wouldn't have to preach it off of them when they got grown. Hello? You still here? Yeah, still barely breathing. I can hear you. What's he going to do next? Where's he going now? I'm telling you, God got to deal with my heart. And he said the reason that we're seeing folks, oh, every now and then, we'll see a move of God. But the reason we're seeing them, hey, amen, we're not seeing them close the wheelchairs up and hang them up again. It's because, hey, amen, we substituted something else for the reality of the power of God. Amen. God obligated himself to his word, and he still will do it. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we got a bunch of people that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You Holy Ghost or nothing? No, sir. Some man said to me, he said, son, a preacher said, you think you can go to heaven without the Holy Ghost? I said, you might go to heaven without it, but I wouldn't want to go to Walmart without it. I wouldn't want to go downtown without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, Joshua fell on his face. He got to crying because of the defeat of his armies. And God said to him, get up, boy. There's sin in the camp. There's an accursed thing here. And not only was I not with you, I'll not be with you again until you get rid of that thing. Except you get rid of it, I ain't going with you. I'm going to tell you something. They ain't nothing worth losing the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost for. Did you ever think there'd come a time in the house of God that they'd look at you and say, you can't say that sodomy me. You don't call my little girl a queer. Well, I didn't. I called her a sodomite. Because she said she was. Yeah, but you don't understand the lifestyle. Yes, I do. You have to be demon-possessed to practice the unnatural. Boy, would you have thought he got this quiet in a hole in his church called to preach against sodomy? Let me tell you, you have to have some kind of a devil to practice that kind of filth. Don't tell me it's an alternate lifestyle. Don't tell me you was born that way. Amen. You have to do something. My God, the Bible said that God gave them over because of their sin and rebellion, and that's when it come in. And I'm telling you, if you don't draw a line, preacher, amen, they'll come in the pew, and then they'll come on the pulpit. They have no respect for the house of God. This is the grungiest dressing bunch of people that ever dared come into the presence of God. There ain't no way that you'd go before the judge to pay a traffic ticket dressed like you come to the house of God sometimes. Now I'll tell you, like I told the little girl been coming to my church, pitiful little girl. She said, Brother Gabbard, I don't have anything with long sleeves in it. I don't have many dresses. Said, will they be mean to me? I said, you come right over to the house of God. Wear the best you got. That's good enough. Tell me you can do better. But we'll help you do better. Amen. But when you, I mean, you've got to be some kind of a fool now, don't you? You have to have some kind of a warped touch in your head to go out and buy a pair of breeches like some of these boys want to wear. Full of holes showing their naked body. You've got to be some kind of an idiot to pay good money for that. I mean, we had to wear stuff like that. I had more than one fist fight because they talked about the way I was dressed. I didn't know I was poor, brother, but I was wearing hand-me-down. It's hard to believe it now, but I was wearing hand-me-down clothes. It was so it's a big for me. I had to loop them up on the side, you know, fold them up, tighten it up. I didn't know I was poor. I thought this, but at least didn't have no holes in them. They hadn't been patched five times. But I found out I was poor when I found some folks that thought they was better than I was because they had clothes better than me, making fun of me. Of course, I was a mountain boy. And I didn't have anything, but I had what's called pride. And I said, my clothes not maybe as good as yours, but I can whoop you. And I proceeded to do that. Amen. But I was ashamed of what I had to wear. I wore it the best we had, my best mom could do. 17 young, that's the best you could do. But they'll go out and pay that and then wear it to the house of God. Amen. Why is the house of God? I'll tell you why. Because the preacher got afraid of what is going to happen while the man of God was gone, and he made a pact with the devil. Amen. I don't care how much you're... I don't care how much you've got, my friend. Amen. I don't care what you think you've got. Amen. You're not going to bring the filth of this world into the house. You might have a television, but you ain't going to enjoy it. in the world are we going to do? We're going to have a house cleaning. We're going to go in there and we're going to throw all that stuff out.
Come on now, Brother John.
I don't know a whole lot about a lot of stuff. I am not all the time people want to text me. And one brother said, why don't you? I said, I don't know how. And I can't see why I spend a half an hour punch, when I can push a button and say, hey, buddy, I want to talk to you. Besides, I don't like texting because I can't hear the inflection of what you're saying. I can't tell. When I'm listening to you, I can kind of tell, are you joking or are you serious? Amen. Are you, yeah, hello? I don't know about Texas, but somebody asked me, said, Brother Gabbard, said, what about Facebook? I said, keep your face in the book and you'll have revival the rest of your life. Amen. If you'll just put your face in that book, amen, until you memorize it front and back and both sides, amen, you won't worry about nothing else. It'll keep you in the hour we're living in. Amen. But I'll ask God tonight, what am I preaching to you? And feeling the Lord helping me. I want to preach to you, God, is there something in my life that's keeping me from having the power of God? I'm glad for salvation, but it don't stop there. There is an absolute, and I don't care how you believe it, progressive, definite, progressive, however you believe it. I'm telling you, you better not die without it. And if you progress toward it, I'll tell you what I believe. And this is the commentary according to John. This is the gospel according to John. I believe there's a definite sanctifying experience and a progression in the growth and wholeness the rest of your life. But there's an experience, absolutely, amen, you won't be losing your cool every time somebody crosses the yellow line. The Holy Ghost that I have in this hour won't let me throw fits. Now, I would still like to sometimes. I sometimes think that I've got him killed dead. And then I'll drive by the graveyard to check on him. He's sitting on my tombstone waving at me. So I got to dig a hole and put him in there again. But I'll tell you this right now. I don't slam the door and go off to work mad at my wife. Let me tell you how it was when them old folks we talking about, how it was then. My Uncle Willie Langdon was probably one of the sweetest men I ever met in my life. I dreaded for him to come to my house when I was a rank sinner because him and his wife stayed upstairs in the front bedroom and I had the other bedroom, just two upstairs, and just a thin little divider between them. And they prayed every night before they went to sleep. And he didn't pray, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord this old king. I mean, they got down beside of the bed and they hopped and they prayed. And they prayed for me. And he was the most humble man I ever knew in my life. And he'd had to be in the state as sweet as he did, married to my aunt, my mom's sister. My great-grandma was a full-blooded Cherokee. My grandma was a Cherokee and Campbellite and mean as the devil. And her kids was pretty good at it, too, until they all prayed through. But they were having a great revival at the Block Church in Amherstburg, Ohio. And that's where he was part of. He left Kentucky because he knew you couldn't grow tobacco and go to heaven. And that was 50 years ago. And it ain't changed a lick. I went into Kentucky back home, and I got to preaching. And I knew they was upset that they wanted to start a fight. And so one night I told him a story. I said, you know what? I said, there's this feller. He was a third generation moonshiner, famous for their moonshine. I mean, somebody asked me today, my friend asked me today about moonshine. I told him one time that I lived in the hills of Kentucky for the moon still come over the hills in glass jugs. But I told him, this fella, I said, this fella, he's a third generation moonshiner, and he wanted to join the church. And they told him he couldn't join the church and make moonshine. But he said, I don't drink it. He said, I make the best in three counties. He said, I'm just making moonshine. I said, what do you folks think about them not letting him join the church? Well, they said, well, I said, what's the difference in you growing your tobacco? You don't use it, but you grow it for somebody else to die with cancer with, spit their lungs up with. That's why I was so popular all these years. But I'm telling us tonight that if we would get honest with God again and find out why that the Holy Ghost don't fall like he used to, why do we have to come into church? What happened to the spontaneity of the worship? What happened about somebody getting up and screaming about he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and you didn't get excited about it? It's because we've got all of this stuff, this baggage that we're dragging along with us, and we're expecting the Lord to overlook it because it belongs to us. I had just as soon listened, and I hate country music because that's what bound me. And you know, I'd never thought it, but this generation's coming back to country music. I thought as crazy as they got out with that bomb, bomb, zoom, zoom, zoom stuff that they'd probably go crazier than ever. But you know what? We're getting more young girls listening to the love songs of country music. How you know? Because I've been praying. You know, I can go in a restaurant where they're playing the music theme, whatever it is, and it can be this stuff of today, and it doesn't bother me. I can't understand what they're saying. It's not my generation. But if I go in where they are playing country music, I've got to really do something. Brother Alvin, when I had promised myself I was going to do better, it does make a difference what you listen to. It does make a difference. It has an influence on you. And a church or an individual or a Christian will never get higher than the music they worship to. But I promised I was going to do better. I really did. I promised I was going to do better. I ain't blowing my paycheck this week. And then I'd hear a certain song that created a certain mood. And it was another long lost weekend. With paychecks gone, not knowing where you've been. Amen. Some of you need to clean out your closet. There's some folks that's got a church going outfit and wanted to go somewhere else in. If you have to go through the house and gather up the magazines and hide them when the preacher's coming. I got to preaching. And I got to noticing that I was battling this spirit of lust in my church. And I couldn't figure where on earth this is coming from. I mean, just about every time I was hitting the pulpit, I was hitting it some way. Preachers come by and they were. And I found out that my congregation, some older women, and some of them men, believe it or not, was reading what they called a Harlequin romance, a Christian romance. And I said, it ain't no wonder. I said, here I'm trying to preach in a way that'll get them to live pure. And you're giving the book that creates desires that cannot be lawfully fulfilled by the unmarried. And you wonder why that spirit's there. You wonder why you can't sleep. You wonder why the peace of God's gone. You wonder why there ain't no power there. You wonder why you let it not and there's a trembling there. Because you've listened to and you've watched and you've videoed and you've flipped it back and forth and you've twitted it back and forth and you wonder what's going on. I'm telling you, friend, it's about time we took a house cleaning. Come on, yes, I'm tired of losing people to the world without lifting up and saying, hey, that is still wrong. It was sin in grandma's day. It's sin today. But I'm telling you, friend, he said, when I throwed everything out that belonged to Tobiah, I brought the priest back and we cleaned the house. We had a house cleaning and the frankincense come back and the tithe come back in again. And we had a move of God again and the singers come home and the preacher went to preaching and the people began to separate themselves. And we close the gates. On the Sabbath day. And he said for a time or two they come and set up outside the gates. And said after a while I went out and said, if you come back next Sabbath day, I'm going to lay hands on you. And he wasn't talking about praying either. Amen. You can be saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled and far baptized without being limp-wristed. Amen. There are some things that are absolutely worth fighting for. And I think this generation, I sit here tonight and look at all these young people coming in here. And I am not a dummy. There's never been a generation that has the pull and the push that you're facing. It's not that it's not the same devil we've always had, but it's so easy. And listen, I love you. I really do. I told Ann what I was going to be praying about. She said, I'm going to pray that the Lord will make you sweet while you're doing it. Well, I'm trying to be. I feel the burden of it. I feel the burden of it. But I'm telling you, there's some things I might not be able to give you a chapter and verse for, but there's a spirit. It may not be sin, but it'll make sin so convenient for you that you can cross over by. Somebody asked me about some of this stuff going on. I say, all I can say is, for me, it's a little too close to the fire. It's a little too close to the fire. Some of this stuff, I just ain't going to do. I'm sorry. I'm not going there. This sweet Holy Ghost is more important to me, amen, than having that stuff out there. And the reason that you ain't prayed through to the Holy Ghost is because there's things that God has been trying to deal with you about that you ain't been listening. Somebody asked me last night about my brother-in-law that died when he was 28, and Martha Ann was 8 and Martha Ann was 4 when he died. Martha Ann was a tomboy. I mean, she was a little tomboy, and she wore her hair in a ponytail, and she loved a baseball cap with her ponytail at the back of it. I never preached against it one time, I don't think. But there came a day when she got about 8 or 9 years old that she come walking into the living room to her mama and said, I had a sack in her hand, and she said, take these and throw them away. Do something else with them. Well, baby, I don't like the way they make me feel. Whatever happened to the Holy Ghost? He sat across the desk from me and tried to give me all the explanations for why he failed, Mike. And when he got done, I said, but where was the Holy Ghost? Where was that Holy Ghost that you've been preaching about? You see, if you're not careful, you got so used to shaking yourself that you can't tell the difference in being shaken by the Holy Ghost. We can beat them and shove them and rub on them until they shout. But if it don't get down into their heart, we'll lose them. There's people right here tonight that you're just waiting your chance, and I'm out of here. But I'm going to tell you something. You are listening to a lie. That multitude out there, you ain't going to like it where you're going. Don't you go there. I preach to you tonight because I love you. Because I see what things and stuff are moving in among us. I sat the other night, Brother Mike, with an old preacher, sick and old. And he said, Brother Gabbard, he said, I've never seen a time when it's so hard to preach holiness. Not to the young people, but to their mom and dads. The preacher looked at me the other day and he said, they're sitting there with a look on their face. I dare you to say anything to my people. Because if you do, I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have 15 people that were sold out to the will of God as 500 compromisers that I had to hang my head and close my eyes to shave my mug because I was ashamed of what I'd done. God help us today. They say we're fighting a losing battle. No, sir. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody. All the young people ain't going to hell. They ain't all fornicators. They ain't all dope heads. They ain't all waiting for a chance to get out. But we're going to have to give them a chance to get in. We're going to have to get the house cleaned and the stuff out of the way and a rededicated, resanctified altar where they can come and pray through to a genuine experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the burden of this hour is if we don't have a revival of the Holy Ghost outpouring where people get prayed through again, now we're going to lose our heritage. We've got half those people, he said, those kids spoke half the language of the heathen and half the language of their parentage. They didn't know how to talk. They didn't understand the language. That's about where we've got about half of them right now. About half of them that are praying through. And the other half are just hanging on their edges. Don't understand what's going on. Oh, God, help me. I challenge you tonight. I love history. I love reading history, and I've told it all over the country, probably told it here. But one of my favorite stories of World War II was, and I've got a little book right now somewhere that somebody gave it to me and marked it, and I've read it, and I've used it for years ever since then. This captain was over his platoon or whatever from boot camp all the way onto the foreign shores. They had fought together all the way. They were now planning an all-out attack. But there was one place that the Japanese had dug in. There was a little narrow, there was a beachhead, and then a little narrow valley that you had to go through and break out. And then on the other side of that valley was a hillside. And those Japanese had dug in there with machine gun nests all around that hillside. And this captain received orders. We have to, before the main body lands, we have to have that hill secured. Somebody is going to take that hill. He realized that those that were on the spearhead of going through there was going to their death. And so he walked before his men and he asked for a volunteer. He told them what they could expect, and he asked for a volunteer just to lead the spearhead. And every man among them stepped forward. And then he looked at him, Brother Evan, and he realized something. These are my children. These are my boys. I can't do it. And so all of a sudden he shucked off everything but the hand grenades, his 45, his little carbine, and he saluted his men, told his sergeant to follow on, and turned and plunged through himself. It so shocked those enemies, whatever happened, he was halfway across the valley before they ever got to him. They opened up and began to shoot him. He was firing his guns and throwing his grenades and creating such a diversion. He was a running dead man. They said he already had so many bullets through him, he should have been dead a long time ago. And a dead man was throwing grenades. And he fell. And that sergeant looked around at his men. And he said, you know what just happened? That's our captain. Has our captain died in vain? Those men screamed like Indians. Charged through that thing. run up into the very face of hell and won that mountain. They said, our captain will not have died. His blood will not have been in vain. The reason that excited me so, Brother Mike, when I read that, I thought about, I've got a captain that's done charged hell. Amen. He's done made the way. He's done plowed it through. His blood has already sanctified the way I'm going. And I'm not a fixin' to back up on it and to take it down in the hour I'm living in. He has not died in vain. As long as I got breath, I'll preach holiness. Amen. Or hell. Separation from the world and the power of God in the hour we're living in. And I'll throw out anything that cools my affection for God. I don't care what it is. I feel like making an altar. I know I could name a bunch of stuff, but I feel like the Holy Ghost is already naming a bunch of stuff. He's talking about to you about some stuff. Amen. That might not be sin, but you can't run fast without it. So you're going to have to get rid of it. Lord, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather have him to say, well done, as men's applause. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, my friend, is not an option. It is a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm wondering is what's keeping you from getting the Holy Ghost? Big enough to keep you from going to heaven. Have you ever knew the battle was over? I was a church boy. By the time I grew up as a little kid in church, I had one of them little Sunday school banners that had bars for perfect attendance all the way down my chest. Looked like a little general. But when I was about 14, we had a preacher that couldn't believe it. He forgot he was a Baptist. Old Brother Bill King would throw that Bible open. He'd preach hell hot, heaven real. Amen. He preached against women cutting their hair. He preached against wearing breeches. He preached against, and he shouted, and they couldn't stand it. And so, playing with some of the deacon's boys, I heard him plotting to get rid of that preacher. That man was so humble that he let them lie on him and hung his head. And they told so many bad lies with a young girl that people were just about ready to lynch him. And he wouldn't raise his head. And I was there that night when they kicked the door open. He had two brothers that wasn't saved. Everett and Jim came through that back door, walking shoulder to shoulder, both men over 6 feet tall, wearing black coats that came down way past their waist with a bulge plain to see under every arm. They come in, walked up on each side of him. Make a long story short, all of a sudden the fight was gone, but the pastor was killed, and he went away. And I walked out of there that night past a man that I had loved, that was a man that taught me how to coon hunt. And I walked past him, and I said, you are an idiot. By the time I was 16, I'd been in jail twice. By the time I was in high school, I was doing 2 hits of speed a day. By the time I was 19, I was an alcoholic. I left Jackson County, Kentucky at the kind invitation of several officials of the law. But by about the time I was 21, I come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a genuine, heartfelt, Holy Ghost born-again experience. I had not had a sober breath from Christmas of 69 until September of 1970. Every day, every night. I was an alcoholic when it started dying, brother. I mean, I seen bugs that crawled and snakes where they wouldn't know. But when I got up from the side of that old platform rocker, the desire for alcohol left me. And I ain't never had any desire for it since. There is an experience tonight. There's still little experience, son, you can get. Amen. That'll absolutely, amen, wean you from the world. Amen. You'll be glad to say, amen, whatever it takes, Lord. Anything you want me to do, Lord. Whatever I need to do, Lord. Just show me the way, Lord. And you know what, some of us, I'm feeling so good at bragging on this, I might just ask him to give me a refilling tonight. Amen. If you get filled, I may be on the side of you getting a refilling, a genuine, amen, Holy Ghost, Holy Roller refilling. Amen. My captain ain't died in vain. Amen. There is an experience, amen, that'll set the captive free. That man came in with a briefcase full of all the drugs that the elite take, thousands of dollars. He looked at me and my wife and said, I'm spending $5,000 a week and I'm dying. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, because I know that there is a power greater than dope addiction. And right there in my living room, he fell across my shoulders. Me and my wife prayed him through, and he lost his desire for dope. There is an anointing that'll come back in the house of God if we'll get hungry enough and holy enough and humble enough. He'll do it again. Amen. We'll raise up out of the rubble a mighty fighting force. I write unto you, young men, because you're strong. I ain't strong as I was, but you're strong. God's looking for a few good men who will make up the hedge, who will go for me. Lord, I'd rather have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Little old boy, he got so humble and so hungry for the Holy Ghost that he was a plowing and a disking in the spring of the year, getting ready to sow plant corn. And we was in revival at Evans Chapel, and he was a fasting and wasn't drinking water. Now, I don't know if you've ever disked with a little disc of a tractor and the wind blowing in April. It covers you. He quit out for dinner at the dinner hour, went in the house and kind of washed some of the dust off of him, walked past the bucket. He said, I want to get one more drink, just one more. And he said, nope, I want the Holy Ghost more. I want some water. Got 4 hours of plowing left, boy. That's all right. I'm going to church tonight and get the Holy Ghost. He said, Brother Gabbard, I so guarded that I brushed my teeth and made sure I didn't swallow nothing. But he come to the house of God that night, brother, and you know. I mean, he went through to a glorious experience. Amen. That's kept him now 20-some-odd years shouting the victory and dancing under the power of God. He got hungry. We've lost our hunger for it. They don't have an appetite for it because we've not made it sweet enough. Amen. And I said, what's the reason here that we ain't got the power of God? And I went into the house of God. And I found things there that shouldn't have been there. I found things that they'd let come in to replace. They brought the program to replace the power. I like good music. I like talent. I really do. I like the choir. If they got enough of the Holy Ghost to forget about the holding that note, and they can come dancing out of the choir loft on the power of God. But all of this other stuff, I'd rather hear one old grandma stand up in a cracked voice and sing, I wonder where my wandering boy is tonight, than all that stuff. Amen. God wants to do it again. You can be the generation. It didn't die with the elders. The Holy Ghost didn't diminish because they left off the scene. He's pulled back because he's grieved at the furniture that's in the imagination chambers of your heart. He's grieved at what you're looking at when nobody's around. We got a generation. I'm trying to quit, but I see things coming in here. We've got a generation that's bound by pornography. They're absolutely bound by it. And the reason it's so damnable and dangerous is that's not real. That is not life. That's not the way life is. And lust can never be satisfied. You need to unplug that thing. I still don't understand why a 12-year-old girl has to have a cell phone hooked up to the internet. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't understand. They tell me that they got these new stupid phones. They call them smartphones. But you're stupid if you use them the way they want you to. All they got to do is click, and they can watch any movie they want to. And you ain't got no idea what they're looking at. And you wonder where these spirits are coming from. You wonder what's worth fighting. When you open that door of your mind, and let me tell you something. Now come here, some of you ain't been saved all your life. There's things that I saw when I was a sinner that I'd give 10 million worlds that if I hadn't ever seen them. There's things, I know you're curious, but there's things you're better off not knowing. And I'd save you from that if I could. I'd tell you, you don't need that. Why don't you come to these altars tonight and ask God honestly, Lord, what is it that's hindering me from having the real, genuine move of God in my soul? Why can't I pray through till the glory of God comes down like it used to? Why am I battling what I'm battling and fighting what I'm fighting? I'll tell you why. You still got Tobias furniture. And the Holy Ghost will never come in. He may shake you. He may shout you. He may bless you. He may woo you. But he'll never fill you and baptize you and control you until you clean out those chambers. Church, are you praying tonight? Do you feel the Holy Ghost coming in here? Can you feel what I'm feeling? There's a spirit moving from the back to the front that's dealing with hearts tonight. And I know enough about the Spirit of God. God's touched you. He's put his finger on some things tonight. That if you'll be man enough or woman enough to come down to these altars and say, God, take it. Pull it out there. Throw it down. Lord, if it's going to hinder me or my family or my church from having the power of God, I don't want it. I want the power of God more than anything else in my life. Amen. Somebody get us a song, if you would. Church, are you praying? Are you praying? Listen, I ain't an old fogey. And just because I ain't saying it don't mean I ain't seeing it. You hear me, girl? I'm telling you, God's dealing with you. You better get took care of. You're on your way out, and you ain't going to like what happens out there. Amen. Stand with me all over the building. Oh, God, as they get the song with somebody, Lord, would you let the Holy Ghost break the ice and bring somebody, some girl, some boy, some man, some woman, out of those seats around these altars. Say, I'd rather have the power of God. I'd rather have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's all these things. It may be as simple as a baseball cap, but it ain't simple if God's dealing with you. If you don't give it up to God. It may not be sin, but it's a hindrance. It's going to make it awful easy for you to sin if you don't change in it. As they sang the song tonight, I want to open the altars. And I want us to come. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's things in your life. Would you come tonight? Let's pray. Tonight will be a good night for you to pray through. To a real genuine. Come on. Come on.